Welcome to SCOTUScast, Government Refunds and Taxpayer Equality Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On February 29, 2012, the Supreme Court heard oral argument in Armour v. Indianapolis. The question presented in this case is whether a local government violated the U.S. Constitution's Equal Protection Clause when it forgave the obligations of taxpayers who had elected to pay on a multi-year installment plan, but refused to refund payments made by similarly situated taxpayers who pay their assessments up front and in full. To discuss the case, we have Shai Dovoretsky, who is a partner at Jones Day. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Mr. Dovoretsky.
My name is Shai Dvoretsky. I'm a partner with Jones Day in Washington, D.C. I filed an amicus brief on behalf of the National Taxpayers Union in Armour v. City of Indianapolis, which was argued before the Supreme Court on February 29th. The basic issue in Armour is whether the city violated the Equal Protection Clause by forgiving the tax liabilities of those taxpayers who chose to pay their assessments in installments while withholding refunds from taxpayers who paid their assessments in full up front. Let me first give some background on the case. In 2001, the City of Indianapolis imposed tax assessments of approximately $9,300 on each of 180 households in a particular neighborhood. The tax assessments paid for the hookup fees for those households to the city sewer system. The tax assessments were imposed pursuant to an Indiana law called the Barrett Law. Of particular relevance here, as I'll discuss later, the Barrett Law mandated equality in the tax assessments imposed against similarly situated taxpayers. Under the Barrett Law, the taxpayers had the option either to pay the full tax assessment up front or to pay in installments over 10, 20, or 30 years at an interest rate of 3.5%. 31 out of the 180 taxpayers in this neighborhood chose to pay up front, and the others paid in installments. The following year, in 2002, the city, realizing how politically unpopular this tax assessment method was, decided to abandon it in favor of a different method of funding this project. Under the new funding system, each household was required to pay a $2,500 flat fee, and the rest of the funding would come from higher sewer usage rates. Of particular importance to this case, while the city forgave the outstanding tax liabilities of those taxpayers who chose in installments, some of whom at that point had paid as little as $300, the city withheld refunds from any taxpayers who chose to pay in full up front. Those 31 taxpayers who had paid in full sued the city, alleging that this violated the Equal Protection Clause. The taxpayers won in the trial court, which awarded them a total of approximately $270,000 in refunds and $105,000 in attorney's fees. The Intermediate Court of Appeals in Indiana affirmed, but the state Supreme Court reversed. The state Supreme Court held that the city had at least two rational reasons for choosing to withhold tax refunds from those who had paid in full. First, doing so simplified collections by drawing a clear line between the old taxation system and the new one. Second of all, the city could rationally assume, the state Supreme Court said, that those taxpayers who paid in full up front were financially better off than those who paid in installments, and the city had a rational interest in helping those lower and middle income taxpayers. The Supreme Court of the United States granted the petition for certiorari, which argued that four other states had ruled, contrary to the Indiana Supreme Court, on similar tax forgiveness schemes, and that the Indiana Supreme Court's decision also conflicted with a federal district court decision in Indiana involving a similar scheme. The petition for certiorari also argued that the Supreme Court's review was needed in order to reaffirm the validity of a decision called Allegheny-Pittsburgh versus County Commission to explain how Allegheny-Pittsburgh can properly be read and reconciled with another decision called Nordlinger versus Hahn. Allegheny-Pittsburgh was a 1989 decision in which the Supreme Court held that a county commissioner's practice of assessing property values based on recent purchase price while making only minimal adjustments to the assessments of property that had been held longer than that, violated the Constitution and specifically the Equal Protection Clause. Interestingly, Chief Justice Roberts, when he was in private practice, wrote the briefs for the winning side of that case. In 1992, the Supreme Court held in Nordlinger versus Hahn that California's Proposition 13 was consistent with the Equal Protection Clause. Proposition 13 permitted the state to impose property taxes based on the value at the time of sale and imposed caps on the increases imposed on taxes for taxpayers who had held their property longer. The critical difference between Nordlinger and Allegheny-Pittsburgh, the Supreme Court explained, was that in Allegheny-Pittsburgh, the West Virginia Constitution mandated equality, whereas in Nordlinger versus Hahn, state law expressly recognized benefits of an acquisition value tax scheme. Justice Thomas wrote a separate opinion in Nordlinger in which he argued that Proposition 13 was constitutional and that the court had correctly decided Nordlinger, but that Nordlinger was not reconcilable with Allegheny-Pittsburgh, which he thought was wrongly decided and which he criticized harshly. The taxpayers in this case argue that their case is just like Allegheny-Pittsburgh. In their view, here, just as in Allegheny, there is a 30-to-1 disparity in the taxes ultimately paid by similarly situated taxpayers. Moreover, in their view, here, just as in Allegheny-Pittsburgh, that disparate tax treatment is inconsistent with a background principle of state law. Under the taxpayers' view, once there was a commitment to tax equality, that had to be maintained by the state, at least absent a rational reason to depart from it. The taxpayers emphasized in their brief that they're not challenging the city's decision to move away from the Barrett Law funding system to a new system, and they also were not challenging the city's decision to assist lower-income taxpayers. They were just saying that doing so required the city to treat them as taxpayers who had paid in full, similarly to others. At bottom, the taxpayers argued, the city's only real justification for withholding refunds from them was wanting to save money. And that, according to the taxpayers, can never be enough because it would effectively swallow the Equal Protection Clause and deprive it of any meaning in the taxation context. The city, in its brief, emphasized that it needs only a rational basis for the tax forgiveness scheme that it imposed, and that giving up on one unpopular program, the Barrett system, in order to replace it with a different funding system and move forward from that point was more than enough justification. Allegheny-Pittsburgh, they argued, is an anomalous decision. It didn't deal with tax forgiveness, and Nordlinger, in any event, limited to its facts. Throughout their brief, the city returned repeatedly to a favorite example about the supposedly broad implications that ruling for the taxpayers would have. In the city's view, ruling for the taxpayers would wreak havoc with all sorts of municipal programs, for instance, parking ticket amnesty programs. According to the city, ruling for the taxpayers would mean that somebody who paid a parking ticket late along with fines could potentially have a constitutional claim against somebody else who paid a parking ticket even later but did so pursuant to an amnesty program that waived any fines. The oral argument of the case on February 29th suggested that the court might well be deeply divided over this case. Justices Breyer and Sotomayor in particular, and Justices Kagan and Ginsburg, to a slightly lesser degree, seemed concerned about the broad implications that ruling for the taxpayers might have for municipal administration and for court oversight of local government. They were concerned, for example, with the sort of parking ticket hypothetical raised by the city. They were concerned that ruling for the taxpayers would make it very difficult to transition from one tax scheme to another. And Justice Breyer seemed particularly concerned that the entire Internal Revenue Code could be open to equal protection challenge if, in fact, the taxpayers were to win here. Chief Justice Roberts and Justices Alito and Scalia in particular, along with Justice Kennedy to a somewhat lesser degree, seemed concerned about the unequal treatment that was imposed on these taxpayers. They thought, through their questions anyway, that the burdens on state government would be no reason not to enforce the Equal Protection Clause if that was what was required in this case. In fact, some of the questions from these justices suggested that they were focused more on remedial issues than on whether the taxpayers were right on liability. Some of their questions focused, for example, on whether the appropriate remedy would be to refund money to the taxpayers or to raise taxes on everybody else in order to equalize the tax burden. The wild card here may well be Justice Thomas. He did not ask any questions at oral argument. In the Nordlinger versus Hahn decision, as I mentioned earlier, he very harshly criticized Allegheny-Pittsburgh, which is the main decision on which the taxpayers rely. It will be interesting to see when the decision comes down how he votes and what impact Allegheny-Pittsburgh has on the court's ultimate decision of this case.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUS Cast. For more episodes of SCOTUS Cast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.